Hi, this is Eric Casto with Global Reach Ministries and Four Smiles Productions. We're in the School of Acts, and we are in the Baptism of the Holy Spirit module, and we are in the fourth session. And I tell you what, there is so much in this. I think you have to, after you finish it, you have to go back through and slowly do it again, because there is so much when you look at the different nuances or characteristics of how the Holy Spirit is working in and through the church. And we started this whole module with that one little phrase, He, Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. And we should never forget that first mention of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. In fact, like we said at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 1, verse 2, guess what? We're introduced to the Holy Spirit. He's not gone anywhere. He's still actively working and producing, manifesting the glory of God. So let me open in a word of prayer, and then we're going to pick up here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you fill us with your power and your glory so that we can serve you. We love you, Jesus. Come and manifest yourself during this teaching and training, and we receive it done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's go to number 16. The Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Acts 10, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them who heard the word. Acts 10, verse 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Note, the Lord had promised that all nations would be blessed in Abraham. Cornelius became the open door of the blessing of Abraham coming upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. In this baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord chooses to personally baptize the Gentiles without the hands of the Jewish apostles. A precedent is set that later ensures that the Jewish church, based in Jerusalem, could never hold sway over the Gentile church. The body of Christ was one new man. Remember, Jerusalem, before its destruction by Titus in AD 70, had not only become a Christian stronghold, but a religious one as well. Even certain of the apostles had been affected by the religious fervor of the Christian Jews in that ancient city. In AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed and the religious church was scattered. This event began the age of Christianity in the hands of the Gentiles. Before the Roman destruction of Jerusalem, we see the hand of God plant like seeds both Peter and Paul into Rome to empower this new direction of Christianity and its global mission. Take time with this. Think it through. My final thought pertains to the force of the praising coming out of the Gentiles. Truly hearing Romans speaking in tongues was a sign to these Jerusalem-based apostles. But to hear them shouting and praising God was just as real. This was truly a sign and a wonder to these Jews who had already believed upon Jesus. And let me further this note. You know, to hear people praying in tongues is amazing. I mean, think about the sorcerer, the magician, in Acts chapter 8. Philip goes to Samaria, and the power of God falls, and a magician comes to the Lord. And then before you know it, he's asking, can I pay some money to get the power to baptize people in the Holy Spirit? And you say, well, why? Well, he was watching his friends and relatives pray and speak in new tongues. That's something that he never, ever could have done with his magic tricks. And so praying in tongues is such a sign and a wonder. And so it was here with the Gentiles, these Romans, they were praying in tongues, but they were also praising God. And that is a sign and a wonder as well. Could you imagine watching this centurion, Cornelius, declaring praise? He's wearing this Roman outfit, right? And he's praising the Lord. Oh, I tell you, I love it. So powerful. So the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me just say this. In different parts of this teaching on the School of Acts, you're going to have different angles on this miracle as the Spirit of God began to move towards the Gentiles. So a good thing to do is to go to Acts chapter 10 in this book and look at all of the different gifts of the Holy Spirit that were manifesting in this move of God. And God, you know, to look at it this way, God was pulling a lever in the earth, and he was changing things. And in order for that lever to turn so that the gospel could come to the Romans, to the Gentiles, there had to be a move of power. Why is the power of God so important to the church? Well, every major move of God in the book of Acts happened because of the power of the Holy Ghost. It didn't happen because Peter was so holy and Paul was so beautiful. No, it happened because the Holy Ghost was moving. And the Holy Ghost has never changed. He's the same. Let's go to number 17. John the Baptist and Jesus. Oh, this is interesting. Acts 11, verse 15 through 16. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. This is Peter talking about the Gentiles. As on us at the beginning. That's Acts chapter 2. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. When the angel Gabriel declared to Mary, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you, and this holy child born in you shall be called the Son of God, she had no idea what this meant. She just believed, Luke 1:35. We are given more insight into this operation of the Holy Spirit when Mary greeted Elizabeth and the power of God filled both Elizabeth and John the Baptist, Luke 1:41. At the same time, Jesus, the Word of God, was only an embryo, and yet the presence of the Holy Spirit upon him was working mightily. It's no wonder that John the Baptist preached that Jesus would baptize his followers in the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3, verse 11. In this passage, the Holy Spirit was reminding Peter of what Jesus had said. It is also important to note, as stated above, that both John the Baptist and Jesus preached the same message about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is also important to note that what took place in Acts chapter 2, as well as with Cornelius and the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, was the manifestation of what these two prophets, being Jesus and John the Baptist, were declaring. For truly, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established, and in this passage, it was established for the Gentiles. So, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, to go back and think about, and you got to go back and read it, how John the Baptist got filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, Jesus did it, and he was still an embryo, but the power of God was so strong. I just love that story. It's amazing. Now, let's go to number 18. Barnabas, a man full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 11, verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and many people were added unto the Lord. Note, the recipe for effective witness is found in the word full. Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith. It's important to note that many years had passed since we saw the introduction of Barnabas in chapter 4. Barnabas lived a life that cherished what God gave the church on the day of Pentecost and proved that one could maintain a spirit-filled life over the course of many years. The promise of the Father, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with tongues, did not pass away in Barnabas's life, nor had it waned for believers who are alive today. We must cherish this tremendous gift. And what you need to take away here is that the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit, and if he wanes, it's because you waned. It wasn't because he waned. He didn't draw back in weakness. That is what we do. And so we see with Barnabas, he maintained a spirit-filled life over the course of many, many years. Now, to the uttermost parts of the earth, number 19, Paul confronts a sorcerer, Acts 13, verse 9. Then Saul, who is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Note, as mentioned earlier, the world is full of wicked people who are full of demonic power. In dealing with these demonic spirits, God has provided for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and power. Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit in chapter 9, and here in chapter 13, he received a fresh filling or refilling to equip him to confront Elymas. This demonstration of power and authority caused the deputy to turn to the Lord. This concept of a refilling is expressed best in Paul's writings in the book of Ephesians, when he commands them to be filled or to keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit. And actually, in the Greek language, it's a terminology that means continually. Stay in this continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Let's go on to number 20. Filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Note, the life of communion with the Lord brings us into seasons of refreshing in his presence. In this account, we see these believers possessing a joy and fullness about them that empowered them to live their lives in blessing and in spiritual fullness, and actually in effectiveness. And they were turning the world upside down. How? Through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And so we see how crucial this is. Let's go to number 21. Speaking in tongues is the foremost sign. Acts 15, verse 8. And God, who knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And what he's saying here is that they got the Holy Ghost just like we did, meaning nobody laid hands on them. Jesus walked in there and did it himself. Now let's look at the note here. The greatest sign of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and always will be speaking in other tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the nations present heard the disciples speaking in other tongues. At the baptism of Samaria, Simon the sorcerer was amazed at how people received the Holy Spirit by the laying on of hands, and how they began to speak in other tongues. Remember, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is both what you see and hear, Acts 2, verse 33. So it is in this passage. When Peter explained that the Gentiles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit exactly as they had, which means they were baptized personally by Jesus without the assistance of man's hands being laid on them, and then they also prayed in other tongues. Oh, I tell you, you have to think about this. Tongues is important. And let me just add this. Praying in tongues doesn't mean that you are spiritually mature. praying in tongues helps you to mature, but it is not a sign of maturity. And so it's not something that you should pride yourself in. No, we pray in tongues because it edifies us, and we're all moving into greater levels of edification and maturity as we follow the Lord by faith. And that's important to note. You know, sometimes people have a criticism of churches that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they say, well, you know, you're just proud about it. And so we have to watch that. You know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit was a command, but it is not a sign of Christian maturity. It helps us. So let's go on to number 22. Apollos baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 18, verse 26. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him in to them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Note, in this account, we find a man who believed and followed the Lord, but who had also been baptized with John's baptism of repentance. Jesus' life and teachings affected thousands upon thousands who were not all living in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. In this account, we find a man with a teaching gift who was both fervent and diligent in teaching the things of the Lord through the lens of the baptism of John. Now, I want you to think about that. He loved the Lord. He believed in the Lord. He taught about the Lord, but it was all through the lens of John the Baptist's teaching. When Aquila heard this man, he was touched by the gift of God in operation through him. Then Paul's trusty helpers realized that Apollos needed something more. There are no accounts given in the book of Acts that leave the door open to whether the baptism of the Holy Spirit is an option. It is not an option. This baptism, spoken by Jesus, was preached equally with salvation. To the Jewish mind, if God is going to build a temple, he is also going to glorify it. The result of this baptism enhancement was a new level of boldness which enabled Apollos to mightily, which is the Greek word utonos, or with power, to convince the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. So this man was an amazing teacher, but after they prayed for him, after he got baptized in water in the name of Jesus and got baptized in the Holy Spirit, something changed in his teaching gift. It was with power. And listen, that is so important. There are so many wonderful men and women who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet, and they're wonderful teachers of the Bible. They love Jesus. And Apollos was a man just like them. And I love it that the Bible has this in it, because there's a lot of people that haven't walked into the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Maybe the church they're in, the doctrine that they think they believe, and they haven't been convinced yet like Apollos, but the Lord loves them. The Lord uses them, and they love the Lord, and they love to serve the Lord. But in this case, they need something more. And when they walk into it, just like Apollos, that fervency of their teaching and training gift, it goes to a whole nother level, a level of fruitfulness that they hunger for. Okay, let's go to number 23. The 12 were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And this is actually the last example in the book of Acts of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or teaching on the Holy Spirit. But thank God it's not the last example throughout church history. So the 12 were baptized in the Holy Spirit, Acts 19, verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And I'm going to say this. This happened outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, outside of Samaria. This is part of the to the ends of the earth. And we're seeing the power of God demonstrate the same way. God hasn't changed. There are no boundaries to limit the power of the gospel. Now let's go to the note. This is the last account in the book of Acts of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here we find other disciples, men who likely had been taught by Apollos. They were probably his disciples who needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is profound about this account is that these men were living in Gentile lands. Thus, the Holy Spirit demonstrates that the power of God can be administered outside the boundaries of Israel. And I'm going to keep reminding you of that, that there are no boundaries that the Holy Spirit and the gospel can't break through and be the same. In conclusion, not only has the gospel been preached around the globe, but so has this holy baptism. The families of the earth, the nations, are now being blessed in faithful Abraham, just as the Lord had declared. Currently, there are more people living on the planet Earth than ever before who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit with a corresponding sign of speaking in other tongues. Throughout the book of Acts, there is never an example given of a person not being granted this holy baptism. It is important to note that in many examples throughout the book of Acts, the word all is used to describe the reception of this holy submersion. Even in the dedication of Solomon's temple, all of it was clothed in the Shekinah glory, not some of it. Thus, Satan seeks, through religious tradition, fear, and unbelief, to limit born-again believers in their reception of this commanded blessing. The administration of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts was never a point of division, but one of unifying the church, comprised of people from all nations and tribes in the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:19, for the earnest expectation of creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. And these sons comprise of men and women and of every nation, every color, every tongue, language, every hair color, every eye color. It is amazing what God is doing through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so I just love this. And let me just close in prayer. And you really kind of have to go back over all of this, because there's a lot in there. And you got to go slow and say, okay, Holy Spirit, change me. Raise me up to a new level. Now, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for what we've heard over the past several lessons on the Holy Spirit, on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, Father, as we go and we declare Jesus Christ as Lord, Lord, may we never shrink back from the baptism of the Holy Spirit and tongues. This is a gift, a promise that comes from you, Heavenly Father, and we're going to boldly receive it. And Lord, your word declares that Lord, you're a great Father. And if we were to come to you and say, Lord, I'm asking for the Holy Spirit, how much more shall you give the Holy Spirit? So Father, right now we're asking for the Holy Spirit. Fill us afresh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now go to our website at www.4smiles.com. There's more information there. And remember, we love you. Jesus loves you, and he's coming soon. You need to be ready for it. Until next time, God bless you. Bye-bye.